Let's go to the Lord once again in prayer. Father, we are thankful that You have given us Your Word. You've revealed to us who You are, how You would call Your people to live. We're so thankful that You're not a God who's created and abandoned, but that You are involved in our lives. You care for Your people. And we pray, Father, that You would open our hearts and minds this evening as we look at how You have called and designed Christian children and parents to interact. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. This evening we'll be continuing our study of the book of Ephesians. We're now going to be beginning chapter 6, the final chapter in the book of Ephesians. We'll be looking at chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them, and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. My wife, Taylor, told me about a conversation she had somewhat recently with an older lady. And this lady was somewhat distraught and not understanding why all of her friends' children, her children, some of their children, had grown up, and when they left the house, they didn't care about what their parents had to say as far as any counsel, and they could care less about the church or Christianity. And as my wife talked to her, the reason why this lady was somewhat distraught and struggling with this, she said, we were Christians. We had Christian families. We were everything that we were supposed to be. But as my wife talked to her, it came to be rather apparent that though this lady thought that they had a Christian home and that was enough, the parents take any time to teach their children the faith. They left it to the church for the kids to absorb everything. Some of the parents even had an attitude of, well, I don't want to shove anything down my children's throat. I'm going to allow them to make their own decisions. But when it came to the children growing up, they were still shocked as why. Why would the children decide to go in a totally different direction than what we have chosen as parents? And you may have experienced this either as a child or a parent, or maybe you didn't. Maybe you had the quintessential perfect Christian covenant home. Parents who opened up the Word every day, who did family worship, that taught you, that expected you to obey. But whichever one of these you had growing up, once again, like we looked at last week, there is a standard that God has given us, a design for how He wants the Christian family to function. Last week we began seeing what was referred to as the household codes, and this evening is the finishing of those household codes. Last week we saw marriage, how God has designed it in the roles. This week we see that the Holy Spirit through Paul has written on the responsibilities of children and parents. And as I mentioned last week, it still applies to everyone. Even if you're sitting there and you have adult children, even if you're sitting in your blue chair and you say, well, I've never even had children, this part of Scripture still applies to you because you are part of the church. So I do think that, without a doubt, God will use this in a way to help all of us. So we'll see that the family functions properly when they follow Christ's design by the power of His grace. Families function properly when they follow Christ's design by the power of His grace. And we're going to look at children's responsibility and parents' responsibility this evening. But before doing that, we're going to take a moment and look at the slave and master relationship that Paul talks about. Now, this isn't a cultural relationship situation that we have today, but when Paul was writing this in the Roman Empire, slaves were considered part of the household. Even in a Jewish background, there would have been a setting of slaves being part of the household. In fact, when you look at historians, the Roman Empire itself was made up somewhere between low estimates, a quarter, high estimates, almost half of the Roman Empire were slaves. So this would have been very important at that time that Paul was addressing these churches. He was addressing slaves and masters, how in the household they were to interact. And we see that we don't want to romanticize this and talk about, well, you know, this was a good form of slavery and this and that. But at the same time, it was a seen as a household. We see in Acts and 1 Corinthians, when someone was converted into Christianity, that the entire household was baptized. And that would have included any household slaves. In the Old Testament, when Abraham was converted, all males in the family were circumcised. And that would have included slaves that Abraham had. So it was a look at the household. But how would we apply this today? It's not a parallel between the child-parent relationship, the slave and master. And it's not a parallel from what we looked at last week, being the husband and wife relationship. But there are some points here that Paul is telling the slave and the master in their interaction that we can also take from this and learn. We can see that we're to be content with the role that God's given us. So whether that's the role of being a wife or a husband, or a role as being a child, a brother, a sister, or a parent, we're to be content where God has placed us. And we're not to reject those roles, but we're to embrace them. And look what God has called us to do and how we can fully live the way that He has called us. We also see in verse 9 that within God's people, that Christ has no partiality. He doesn't love the child more than He does the parent. And He doesn't look at the head of the house and love the head of the house more than He loves the child. There's no partiality within the kingdom. Christ loves all of His people the same. That's the same within the body. Now, let's spend the rest of our time focusing on the children's responsibility and the parents' responsibility. Well, when we take a look at what Paul has written here regarding the children's responsibility, the first thing that jumps right out at us is this call to obey. It's the fifth commandment. It's right out of Exodus 20:12. We have this, honor your father and mother. He just states it like we looked at last week where he just stated this, the way we're to live. He says, children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. Paul has just made this statement, this command, that children are to obey. And then we see that it's followed up with a promise. And this is a general promise, so it's not a guarantee. So children, he's not saying, if you obey your parents, then you get to go to heaven. No, that's not the kind of promise that's here. It's more of a general. When you obey your parents, you are in a covenant relationship that allows you and the church, the people of God, to move forward, that blessings are poured out. We see it's not an earning of salvation. Or children, another way to say it is, you don't inherit your salvation. Because your parents are Christians or you're in a Christian home, you don't inherit that salvation. But you are in, because of the covenant, in a safe place. You're not saved, but you're in a safe place. It's like Paul Tripp, if anyone's ever read any of his books. He gives this illustration of when his children were little. He would take them outside and with chalk, he draws a circle. And he and his wife stepped into the circle. And he had invited the children into the circle. And they were young, so he said, let's all repeat this. Safe circle. It's all the children saying, safe circle. And he goes, let's go outside the circle. So they step outside the circle. And then Paul Tripp would say, let's all repeat, not in the safe circle. And they say something like, not in the safe circle. And he would use this to the young child to show them that when we're when we're obeying mommy and daddy and we're obeying God's word, we're in a safe place. It's not a guarantee, but it's a safe place. It's safer than living outside of what God has commanded or living outside of the direction and the teaching of your parents. Well, we see for children that obedience is required. And it's a blessing. We need to look at this obedience as a blessing. It's a blessing that leads to maturity. God's given you your parents providentially in a Christian home, and they are the ones who are calling you to obedience to God's word, and that is being used by the Holy Spirit to sanctify you and to mature you. But we also see this obedience is evangelism. And the parents may understand this a little better. You may have had this happen. Maybe you went out somewhere and you're having a normal day, and you may even be thinking, oh, I love my children, but I'm a little, at the moment, frazzled. And then someone walks up out of the blue and they say, I can't believe how well-behaved your children are, the way that they're standing in line and talking to you. And you're thinking, oh, okay, praise God. But what an opportunity. A door has been opened, because you can say, well, you know, God is good. God is good. He's, you know, my children are obeying. They're not perfect in any way, but what a blessing it is. And who knows where that conversation can go. Or children, young adults, your friend, why in the world? They might say to you, why do you listen to your parents? Why are you so respectful to them? Well, that might be a great opportunity to say, well, because that's what the Lord calls me to do. I love my parents. But, yeah, I mean, they give me rules, but that's their job. God's called them to give me these rules for me to obey, to show me back to Christ. So it's an opportunity that we may be able to evangelize. So we see that, you know, we have this blessing, it's required, it's evangelism, and then also we see that our obedience, children, it's motivated by, and the ability to obey is caused by Christ and His strength and His grace. So we can't think that we're able to obey out of our own strength, but that we always want to look to Christ. We want to call out to Him in prayer and ask Him to give us the ability to obey. Especially as we grow older and we begin to transition, it becomes a little bit more of a challenge sometimes during that period. So we want to ask Christ to give us the strength to be able to do that. Well, we also see the duty to honor. And what Paul is referring to here is this attitude that we have towards our parents. And this is an attitude throughout our life, this honoring that we have towards our parents. Some of you may have heard of Tim Hawkins. He's a Christian comedian. He's got some funny stuff, maybe a few things you might want to watch with a discerning eye. But he tells a story about his children, two actually, that I thought were pretty funny in a very sad way. They live in Tennessee. They drove down to Six Flags outside of Atlanta, if you're all familiar with that. They spent all day. They rode every ride. He bought them food. He did everything. They get back in the car. They're loaded up. They're getting ready to leave. They're driving out the parking lot. And he's thinking, oh, it's over. I'm exhausted. I got to drive all the way back to Tennessee. He looks back in the rearview mirror, and his kids are like pouting. He starts thinking, pouting? They just went to Six Flags all day. So he asks him, you know, little Johnny, well, what's wrong? And, well, Timmy's dad took their family to Disney World for a week, and you just took us to Six Flags for a day. And the other child says, I hate you, Dad. You know, as sad as that is, obviously, children, that's not honoring. Well, he has another one, Christmas. He thinks, once again, I've got this nailed. My daughter has told me she wants an iPod, a pink iPod. So he goes, he buys the iPod, wraps it up. She opens this gift. She's so excited about it, he thinks. She's kind of bouncing around the room. She's moving. He's like, I nailed it. I got that pink iPod. She's been asking for it. And all of a sudden, she goes from pacing to crying. And she says, I wanted such and such gigabytes. You got me such and such. I hate you. And it was this comic but sad display of how children, you can not honor your parents. And so you would want to have an attitude of, thank you, Daddy, for the iPod. That was really nice of you to listen to me. And when I asked for it, that would be a more honoring way. So as funny as it was in the skit, it's also really sad when you think about it in reality that can happen sometimes. Well, when we look at our relationship of this relationship between child and parent, it really is a lot like prayer, if you think about it. When we pray, it's really easy to just make our prayers all about petitions. God, give me this. God, we really need this. God, will you do this? Well, that's the same way that a child could act towards their parents. It could always be, Mom and Dad, I need this. Mom and Dad, you're the 40-year-old ATM. I need more. I ran out, so I came out of my room to ask for more. Well, no, like prayer, instead of only bringing petitions to God, we're bringing petitions, which is important, but we're also praising Him, worshiping Him, honoring Him. So in the same way, we would honor our parents in the relationship along with bringing these petitions, and we would obey them. Well, there's seasons of childhood, and obedience and honor looks different throughout these seasons. And there's really, when I thought about it, there's three seasons. And all three of these seasons are impossible to work through successfully without relying on Christ and His grace to move through them. So the first season obviously starts when you're born. So you're born, and then depending, it's different for different individuals, but somewhere around mid-teens, that's going to be our first season as a child. And then, and the child is then in a relationship to the parents, is going to move about mid-teens, somewhere young adulthood, make this transition. So that's the second season. And then the third season is going to be adult to death. So we've kind of got birth to death covered here. Well, in this first season, you can think of it in the relationship between a child and their parent. The first season is all obedience, all honor. So the child owes from birth to, give or take, pending mid-teens, they obey their parents in the Lord, and they honor them. Now the second season, we're looking at a transition's beginning to happen. So we have a combination of, there's all honor, but there's a combination of obedience and receiving counsel from their parent. Because you're beginning to make some of these decisions on your own, and your parent is there, not just to necessarily set these rules, but to walk you through as a wise counselor. And then the final and third season as a child is when the transition is made to the parent is a counselor, and they will always receive all honor. So there's these three seasons that you move through as a child. But you see that Paul is showing us here that families function properly when they follow Christ's design by the power of His grace. So we've seen children's responsibility, but Paul also shows us the parents' responsibility. And the first thing that Paul points out is do not drive your children away. Don't push your children away. Now, I grew up, I heard this a few times. You may not have heard this, maybe you have. But I've had people either tell me, share with me, or confront me with this Christian homes. You know those homes that they read their Bibles, they're really serious, they pray, they're we call them like ultra Christians. Those are the kind of homes that just drive kids away. They make kids want to run and get out in their freedom and do their thing. That's what I was told. Well, in reality, that's not the kind of home that drives children away. Now, I would say that a legalistic, religious-type home would drive children away because as soon as they're old enough to figure out as they're reading their Bible and they're beginning to say, wow, this is really just a big hypocritical scene. There's no real relationship. I'm not being shown Christ. There's nothing here. It's all about what I do. It's all about my actions. I'm being reprimanded for this or that, but no one cares about my heart, my desires, what's going on. So it's not having a Christian home does not drive children away. If anything, it does the opposite. But it is having this legalistic, religiosity-type home is a setting that would drive potentially children away. No, there's other things, though, that parents can do and fathers can do that would drive children away. A big one would be unbiblical discipline. So it's disciplining your child, but not following the model that God's given us. It's your model you've created or a model you've picked up from the world or something that sounded good because a friend told it to you. Or it could be this issue of just out of control anger. You know, just yelling at the children over things. Or instead of kind of working through things, it's like it's just this demeaning, kind of almost like I'm going to take God and use Him like a baseball bat. So I'm going to whack on them, on the child, until they kind of do what I want them to do. Well, that's going to push them away. That's going to do the opposite of what Paul is telling us here. And we also, unfortunately, there's a lot of people who basically just, it's almost an abandonment of the child. I'm going to feed the child. I'm going to give them a roof over their head. But I'm basically just going to abandon them. I'm not going to be there for them. I'm not going to work hard to have a relationship with them. And it's sad, but that exists, that abandonment. And that is pushing away. That's not fulfilling the role of a parent. And as Paul points out here, the ultimate responsibility of the father in the home, the head of the home, to make sure that the child and the children are not being pushed away. Well, there's another really big thing that Paul's showing us here, and that's that children are to be raised in the faith by their parents, by their Christian parents. So when that's done, the Christian home is to have the standard to be the Word of God. So when teaching's done, decisions are made, the standard is the Word of God. It's not just my standard as a parent. It's not the, you need to do that because I said so. I pay the bills around here. This is my house. You do what I say. Well, no, that's a very floating, movable standard. We need to have the standard that God has revealed to us to be the center of the home. That's what we're going to anchor our teaching and our life on. We read it already in our Old Testament reading, but back in Deuteronomy, in chapter 6, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." So what do we read here? All parents are to homeschool. Everybody woke up really quick when I said that. No matter if your children are in a public school, no matter if your children are in a private school, or no matter if your children are homeschooled, all parents are taking that discipling approach, that homeschooling, that every moment they are teaching when the opportunity arises, the ways of God, God's law. They're interpreting things through the filter of Scripture. They're grasping every opportunity that God provides to point the child to Christ. And then as the child becomes a young adult and we're going through that transition period, these major decisions that begin to be wrestled with and temptations or even mistakes that are made, we come back to God's Word to work through them in a loving way. That is the mooring that the Christian home holds on to, that standard of God's Word. So we see that in reading it, obviously. Prayer, family worship. That's one of the reasons why we encourage the catechizing of the children. And on Wednesday nights, we do catechism here so that the overall theology of Scripture, that the children can learn it and pull it into and own it and have it in their souls. And really important, along with family time as parents, is to make sure we have those opportunities and we take the opportunity for a long conversation with the children, especially as they begin to transition. Because if you just learn to ask a question here or there and then be quiet, kids love to talk. And they really love you, regardless of how they act. They really want to be around you, even though they may not act like it all the time. But once you open the door, then they'll start talking, and then you'll know what we need to address and where we need to go in Scripture to talk about things. So the Scriptures really are a great blessing that God has given to us. And the next thing as parents is biblical discipline. Now, this biblical discipline is necessary, and it's more important in that early season that we talked about, that first season of childhood. And when we look at Proverbs, just two verses that are a good foundation. In chapter 22, verse 15, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him." So the first thing we want to see there, the first thing we want to take out of that is the folly is bound up in the heart of the child. So discipline needs to be focused on the heart of the child, not necessarily, I need to correct this action, so when I go to Publix, they'll look really good, and then I'll get those compliments we talked about earlier. No, it's dealing with the heart of the child, taking that time to lovingly and patiently do that. But we also see in Proverbs 23, one chapter forward, verse 13, "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die." So you read Proverbs, very self-explanatory. It's very simple. Sometimes the simplest things are the hardest things. But God has shown us how as parents to interact with children, especially in that first season of childhood. Well, As parents, we also need to keep in mind, though, as the children need to, that we've got this covenant of grace. We have these blessings that God has given us, that our children are safe, but they're not saved. They're within the covenant. There are blessings. But there are no guarantee. There is no guarantee that all of our children are going to rise up and embrace this covenant, take hold of the gospel, love our Savior. You can do everything right. Everything that we could write on a list, you could follow it to a T. And there is still the opportunity that child would not embrace the gospel. But the great hope is, even when it looks like a child has not embraced it, the prodigal son returned. So even then, as parents, we have this covenant that our God has given us, so that through prayer and a continuing of explaining the gospel and just ministering to our child, that there is always the hope. The hope never escapes us for that great blessing of spending all eternity worshiping with our children. Well, along with seasons of childhood, there's seasons of parenting. And the one consistent thing that we see through the seasons of parenting would be prayer. So no matter what season you're in, where you're at, prayer is important as a parent. So whether that's as a mother is expecting, you're beginning to pray, or you're working through these different seasons of childhood, or you've even moved beyond, where your adult children, your children have become adults and they've moved beyond that, the other seasons of childhood. And it's important also that, you know, as people are saved and they're brought into the church, sometimes God does it in a providential way that the Lord saves someone and their children are already adults. Well, the first thing to do would be for that person to immediately begin to pray for their children, to begin to implore upon the Holy Spirit to work in their children's lives. So prayer is very important. And for those who say, well, I don't have children, well, once again, here, prayer. Pray for the families of the church. Pray for the families within the greater church, that they would take hold of these covenants and that God would bless us with grace. Well, as you move through, really there's two different seasons for a parent. And in both these seasons of parenting, children, the parents should be honored. So that is, though obeying may change, honoring never changes. So the day you die, you'll honor your parent. Now, for parents, there is this point that you'll go from being the rule setter to then being the counselor, so that you may be there to give biblical wisdom, advice, counsel, but your child is an adult is not necessarily going to take that counsel and follow it. And the ability to be able to handle that and realize, hey, they are an adult now. They stand on their 2 feet before the Lord. And I have done what I can. I'm praying for them. I'm ministering to them. I love them. But to be able to make that transition, though I am nowhere near there, talking to older siblings and my parents can be difficult. To be able to see your child make a bad decision and not want to just rush in and set those rules can be hard. But parents, children, as you're growing up, keep in mind, your parents are there. They're a great source of wisdom. When I go to make major decisions, I always talk to my parents to get their advice. I always talk to my in-laws. And then I have a small little number of men that I highly respect. And I get all their counsel. And then me and my wife, Taylor, we get together, we look at the counsel, we talk about it, we pray, and then a decision is made. So not just, if my dad tells me you need to do this, I don't just necessarily do it. I don't have to obey it like a set rule, but it's such a blessing to have that wisdom, that counsel there that you can take. So we see these seasons that we move through. And childhood is really a time as parents that we're preparing our children to embrace the covenant. We're working through the scriptures with them. And our great desire is that they would stand on our shoulders, that they would be more godly than we've ever been or ever could be, that we would be a stepping stone for them to be great men and women in the faith, that one day when we see them again in heaven, it would be, wow, I mean, you blew it out. I mean, you took what me and, by God's grace, your grandfather tried to do, and you just blew it out. I mean, wow. Let's go praise God and worship. I mean, that would be the greatest desire, to see that they have gone well beyond on our foundations and achieved so much more by God's grace. So our number one priority as parents, for those of us who are and are in this season, would be to constantly be taking our child by the hand to our Savior and showing them who Jesus is and how Jesus is applying to that situation. And then the second priority would be just consistent prayer. Well, you see that families function properly when they follow Christ's design by the power of His grace. And the first thing we have to do when we look at this, whether we're a child or a parent, is we have to rely on God's grace and Christ's strength to be able to do this, because we want to kick against this with the sinful nature, with the remnant of sin that we have. But prayer is important. We talked about that. So we should be praying for and with. So we should be praying for our parents' children. Pray that God would give them the grace to be able to be patient and loving towards you and have wisdom to open up God's Word to you. And then parents, be praying for your children that they would obey and honor and they would have wisdom. And then come and pray together. Spend time in prayer. Children, don't be afraid to tell your parents the things that you need prayer for, the things that you need them to help you with. Make sure that the Bible is the center of the home. And then open communication. So children, young adults, be open with your parents. Talk to them. There's nothing that should be going on that you would want to keep hidden from them. Because if you want to keep it hidden from them, maybe there's a problem there. These are your parents. This is what God has given you to work through these things. And then parents, as you have open communication and your children are talking to you, don't be shocked with what they may bring. Don't respond immediately with, oh no, this is like the end of the world. Just talk with them. Work through everything. Have an open communication. By God's grace, we'll be able to do that. And as we talked about, for those of us who have adult kids, or for those of you who have no children, pray for the families in the church. Pray for them. Ask the parents, you know, what are some things that we could be praying for? I'm sure there's a few things that they could share. Yeah, this and this is going on. And pray for them. Put them on your prayer list. And then grandparents or those who do, your children are already adults, take some time and write down the great things God's done in your life, the lessons you've been taught. I asked my dad a couple of months ago, I said, Dad, will you just write something short? Talk to me about my grandfather passed away before I was born. So write something about him and growing up in his house. And then write something about what God's done in your life. What were struggles you overcame? What was this? What was that? Would you do that for me? And I didn't hear anything. I was like, okay, well, I think my dad blew me off. And I guess that was maybe a little bit of a big thing. And then my mom comes back and goes, okay, I don't know what you did. He's got this book like this big. He's writing. He's all over the place. Every free moment he had, he's writing. And it was really exciting because my boys are going to have that. They're going to get to read these things of the grandfather I never knew, their great-grandfather, and also their grandfather in a way that they wouldn't be able to know. So that's a great gift you can give. We should be telling the generations about the wonderful things that God has done for us. So keep that in mind. And as we look here, as we looked last week and we saw the roles for marriage, really it's so simple. It's so simple when we look at it. Children obey and honor. And then parents, don't push your children away. And then disciple them. Wow, how simple. But the simplest things can be sometimes the hardest. So rely on Christ. As we go into the Lord's Supper here shortly, consider this passage, the things that we have looked at. Go before the Lord and ask Him, say, empower me. Give me the strength. Give me the ability to do that if you're in that season. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we know that it does not return to You void. So we pray that this evening would be used to edify Your church. Lord, that You would grow us no matter what season we're in, what stage we are. We pray that You would mature us. Father, that You would give us opportunities that we may share the great hope that we have in our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.